Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. And it's always a big red letter day when we get Carrie Cox from Travels with Birdie to come on the show. And it has been too long.
And the crowd goes wild. She's back, folks.
And it's two of our favorite things today. It's an urban destination, and it's Carrie Cox. So we're going to do a Boston trip planner with Carrie, and we're so excited to talk to her. But before we kind of dive into all the fun content, we need to thank our sponsors at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's.
A big thanks to Bass Pro Cabela's. They have everything you need to get into the great outdoors. Go to BassPro.com or Cabela's.com to outfit your family for your next camping adventure. And I think that this kind of topic does hit the sweet spot for Carrie because, first of all, I love the fact that her family really embraces urban destinations when they travel.
Like us.
Her kids like buildings, we've heard in the past, and so they pick places that have buildings. And then also, this is extra special because Carrie came up into our neck of the woods, and it's so much fun
and
for
we met
us.
Her.
Yes, and it's so much fun for us to kind of hear a different perspective on these areas that we've kind of grown up closer to. So, welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Stephanie.
All right. So, overall, so did you love the Northeast?
We did. I mean, we were just surprised that we've never been there. Neither, you know, my husband and I guess we went to Washington, D.C. with a high school trip. And really, that was it. So we hadn't taken our family out that way. And so it was very exciting to finally get to do a Birdie Goes East trip and see all these famous spots that we've seen on TV and heard about for years.
And you guys hit the urban destinations, and we've loved that over the years. And on the East Coast, I feel like the East Coast is kind of particularly strong at being RVable. Like, I mean, you can do a Boston RV trip. You can do a New York City RV trip. It's tricky, but you can do it.
You can do
absolutely. You
DC,
can do Philadelphia, Baltimore, DC. So we're going to talk Boston, and we're going to start by talking just a couple campground options and mainly Normandy Farms campground.
Which we happen to think is the best option.
It's one of the best in the country. And we know you loved it too. So, Carrie, get us started. Like, what did you guys love about Normandy Farms, which is in Foxborough, correct?
Yes. So it is about 30 to 40 minutes outside of Boston, and you would just never know it. So you're driving along, and, you know, we just kept thinking we're not quite there yet because we're not really in an urban area, you know, and so we were kind of thinking urban, but it's just so lush and lots of trees and greenery. And when you pull into Normandy Farms, it's like a golf course with trees and beautiful campsites and then like every amenity imaginable. So this just, I think they set the bar high for exactly what a family campground could be. Like this, it has everything.
Normandy Farms was really like the first RV resort in a lot of ways. I mean, I can't make that call definitively, but Normandy Farms had kind of mastered the resort camping thing before I think it went a little bit viral in the camping industry.
I think that this and the Lake George RV resort, right, are oftentimes very much similar in that old-fashioned RV resort that other people have been copying for decades. But, you know, Carrie, you strike me as very much of a state park kind of camper. I mean, I know you like your hookups and stuff, but I do always picture you, say, in a Colorado state park when I picture Birdie, you know. Did this feel like an okay fit for you and your family?
It did, because it's one of those private parks where even though it's a private campground, you still have really big sites and that greenery and beauty. So I just think it really combines that natural beauty with all of the amenities in a spectacular way. So I have a weird thing about private campgrounds. Like if you're in a nice straight line and you have your room, it really doesn't bother me. You know, it's just if everybody's all messed up and like all on top of each other with no space, that's what really, you know, that I don't like. But I did not have that feeling here at all. I felt like I had plenty of space from my neighbors and plenty of like separation physically. Like they had rocks and trees and greenery everywhere. So it just kind of gives you that little space of your own.
We had a great site too. I mean, now it's going back 4 years for us, but our site was on the far side of the campground along the woods and along the kind of fence at the back. Yes. And we had those large rocks separating the sites. Mm-hmm. And it was really a really large full hookup site.
Yeah, it's kind of like those rocks. I mean, it's one of those things that made me remember when our boys were little, like climbing that rock would have been hours of entertainment.
But wait, the boys didn't climb the rocks this time, Carrie?
Not so much.
Well, you know, and I'm happy to hear your perspective on this campground too, because I think that the amenities and the activities appeal to kids, you know, from a wider age range than some other campgrounds do. So the amenities of this campground are off the hook, but do you have some highlights for us?
Yeah. So of course they have four pools, really. And there's one that's adults only. We didn't get to visit that one. The boys didn't realize it was adults only and tried to go to it and they got shut down. And so they were really happy to have the indoor pool because it was like 65 and drizzly while we were there much of the time. And so they hopped in the indoor pool. They have a sauna, they have disc golf, like not just a little disc golf course, like they have a full grand course. They have a bike park, but again, not just like, oh, here's a place to go ride your bike in a circle. It has all these awesome things you can ride on and jump and bocce ball and nature trails and shuffleboard and basketball. It's like, if you can think of it, Normandy Farms has it. And you know how some campgrounds say they have things, but they're kind of weedy and grown over. And like, it's like, yes, I can tell that that's a place to play basketball, but would I really want to play basketball there? But it's like here, everything is just done like next level. It's what we would maybe say is extra.
And like, also there's usually a person working at each of these. There's usually like an attendant almost at each one or somebody running the activities at each location. Like our kids love Gaga Ball, but here they had Gaga Ball and they had organized games with a ref, yeah. You know, like you said, next level with everything.
Yes. Yeah, and you can check out equipment. So, mm-hmm. You know, we played bocce ball and went and grabbed the equipment, you know, played our game. It had like the built-in scoring board, like the super, you know, like every little thing about it is just really nice. And then I've never seen so many workers in my life anywhere. Like there, every time you'd leave the trailer, you would see multiple people taking care of campsites, taking care of the landscaping. And then, like you said, at any of the amenities, there's people around cleaning, helping people. The indoor pool always had at least one or two kids watching over. I'm not sure if they were trained lifeguards per se, but at least there were people there kind of keeping an eye on things. So just, again, over the top, even with that customer service.
And it really did feel for us like it was a day camp for everyone. Like you were talking about being able to check out the equipment. Like we played shuffleboard with our kids when we were there. Yeah. And like, I don't think we've played shuffleboard since then anywhere, because you could just be like, hey, shuffleboard courts, and go in and get
and
the
like
whole
gorgeous
set.
Gorgeous shuffleboard courts, yeah. With like a view of the campground.
And I feel like that almost makes you feel young again in a way. As an adult, like you're just having fun.
Now, Carrie, I don't know if you experienced this, but the dog park was gigantic. It was one of the biggest dog parks we have ever seen in our travels. So if you're traveling with a dog, they're going to have lots of room to roam and stretch their legs here too.
I was going to say, and I think they even do like dog babysitting there. Like they have a kennel, if I remember reading mm-hmm. this. You can have somebody babysit your dog. So I think that's one of those amenities you don't see other places that a lot of people would appreciate and use.
Now, another thing you don't see other places that I want to spend some time on is moving into more of the activities area, is that most of the time when we're talking about activities, I think that anybody with a kid above maybe 7 or 8 years old kind of shuts down, right? Because it's like when you say campground activities, you think pumpkin painting or sand art or whatever. But Normandy Farms has activities for literally all ages, including when we were there, I think there was senior yoga on the schedule.
Yeah, it's like from morning to night, there's something on the calendar for every member of the family. We didn't get to do that stuff because it turns out we weren't there when the summer season had started. And so the cafe wasn't quite open yet. At least not during the week. Maybe it was open on weekends. And the summer schedule wasn't running, but I had checked out that schedule and yeah, like everybody from babies, you know, doing parachute play up to crafting for kids and for adults and movie nights and just everything, organized games, exercise opportunities, all of that. It's just like you said, like a summer camp for everyone.
You kind of brought up the issue of like the timing of your visit. And I just wanted to maybe recommend a little bit to our listeners when a good time might be to visit a place like Normandy Farms in Massachusetts. And you were there like early June, Carrie, mm-hmm. or late May. Yeah. Is that correct?
Right. We get out of school. We're from the Midwest. So we get out in mid to late May and we hit the road pretty soon after that. So we were there right before they turned over to their summer season, which I think was maybe the first or second week of June.
Now, I would say to our listeners, it can be a little chilly in Massachusetts still at this time of year.
We don't call that summer yet. And our kids are still in school.
Definitely. Right. So, I mean, if you're planning a visit, I might look more towards late June, July, August. And then I also think Normandy Farms would be a really lovely place to visit in the fall for some leaf peeping and some fall foliage. And don't quote me on this, but they either stay open late into the year or they maybe even have some options year around, but I'm not positive about that. But I do know that they stay open late.
We can look at it and make sure that we have some of that information in the show notes. But I do want to say also a little secret for Northeastern folks coming to visit this area is we find that a really nice time is the last week of June. So 4th of July happens to be a little bit of the kickoff season for us around here in the summer, and a lot of places are a little sleepy prior to 4th of July, and then for the 4th of July through like the middle of August are just bonkers.
So true.
Just a little insider tip there.
Completely true of like Cape Cod in particular. Like the last week of June, not everybody's there yet. And then July 1st, it's like everybody shows up. And hypothetically, you could day trip to Cape Cod from Normandy Farms. It's certainly not right around the corner, but it could be an option. So now, Carrie, Normandy Farms is not the only campground if you want to camp near
Boston.
It's
just the nicest.
It's the nicest.
But it also happens to be probably the most expensive, right?
Right. I think it's like they have a big difference in the rates. I just have to say that you can stay there for as cheap as $50 a night, and you might pay all the way up to $120 a night for full hookups during like prime season. So the other good thing about going a little bit in that shoulder season is I think we had maybe a cheaper rate. But if you want something, maybe you can't get into Normandy Farms, don't want to pay that much, or don't need all of those amenities, another nice option outside of Boston is the Boston Minuteman Campground. It's not necessarily any closer to Boston, but it is definitely, it looked a little more affordable, and it kind of had a more of a rustic wooded setting that looks like, if you want that kind of classic rustic campground experience, Boston Minuteman looks like a good option.
And highly recommended by many people in our Facebook group.
I've never heard anything bad
about
it.
Nope, everybody always says they like it.
And if you're just going into Boston for a couple days and you're not planning on hanging out at the campground, you might want to save the money and stay here. Now, we're going to come back in a second and talk about some things to do in Boston and some things that Carrie and her family did. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. And I have to say, there is a Bass Pro Shops right in Foxborough, really close to Normandy Farms. And we went shopping
there.
That's
kind of why this ad says what it does. Did you see what I wrote here?
I didn't.
Because we're on the same wavelength here, right? So Bass Pro and Cabela's has everything you need to get out and enjoy the great outdoors this fall. And even though you can get everything you need online from them, if you're getting out on the road and hitting the road for a road trip, check out store locations before you go. Because actually here in the Northeast, we have some really great store locations. And then also we've found them as we travel throughout the country, like South Dakota, a great stop during the day. Great RV parking. You know that you're going to be able to park in the parking lot. You can go in, get some snacks, some food, shop
possibly
a little.
Possibly spend the night there if you call ahead and ask.
And you, Jeremy, like to collect hats with the little state on them from different locations.
I do.
So, of course, Jeremy has a little hat collection, right? So, definitely there's one by this campground that we were in while we were there. And anywhere you're traveling, just go and do a store locator. And it's a fun place to break up your trip or shop
that
while you're
Bass
there.
Pro Shops actually saved us. And I'm going to tell a little behind-the-scenes RV Atlas Poor story
Carrie.
Here.
Carrie, Poor just hang, hold tight, Carrie.
We did our first satellite media tour from Normandy Farms, yes. And it was the first time that Stephanie and I were ever on television. And we got there to Normandy Farms the night before, and one of the producers or directors told us that we couldn't wear any striped shirts or striped clothing. We had to wear solid colors.
No, it was more than that. It was jewel tones.
He wanted specific colors. And we were like, well, nobody told us, and we've never been on TV before. We're total rookies. So we went to Bass Pro Shops, and we totally got our TV outfits.
Yes. The clothing in that satellite media tour was from Bass Pro around the corner. It's true. And
it's
now
a great
Carrie,
Bass Pro
and now Carrie, we'll welcome you back to the show.
Yeah. I have to throw it out there that I am from the home of Bass Pros. The very first Bass Pro was built in Springfield, Missouri, and you can come to the original Bass Pro here. And there's even a replica of it, of like what the store would have looked like when it started in 1960 in the new Wonders of Wildlife Museum. I'm one of those people who kind of sometimes with things that cost a lot of money that are museums, I'm like, is it going to be worth it? And we went to Wonders of Wildlife and it was just totally amazing and totally worth the money and a phenomenal experience. So
I've heard that. And I've heard that it's like it's won awards like once it opened and everything. So I know we owe you a visit. We definitely do.
I do. I would love to visit.
We owe you a visit and we'll put the Wonders of Wildlife on there.
Before we went on air here, we were going over like how to pronounce some things in like the Boston area. And it's so funny because I think that we just all wanted to make sure that we would get it right because we know that like Boston person out there will totally email us if we mess any of this up.
Billy DiDonato from Truma will be emailing me.
It says a lot. I mean, I love New Englanders, but they do kind of speak their own language. Yeah,
they do. And they want you to speak their language too when they're on their turf. So all you people out there, we will do our best to honor that special language, but we're not making any promises. Now, Carrie, I know this was a whirlwind tour for you because you guys were actually on a mission for colleges and you did not have a ton of time, you know, just to hang out in each of the locations, but you tried to hit the highlights. And I think, you know, a lot of people are in that position. You want sort of, okay, I have a day or I have 2 days in Boston. What do I do? So what did you guys choose?
So we started with the Freedom Trail, the subway. Actually, we landed at a station across from Boston Common, which is where you can hit the Freedom Trail. And it is one of those things we'd heard about all these years, you know, go see the Freedom Trail. And if you haven't heard of it, it is a walking tour of the historical highlights of downtown Boston. And downtown Boston is one of those amazing places where there is this, you know, these old historic buildings right next to brand new skyscrapers, and they've really preserved their history and they tell the story of early America leading up to, you know, the American Revolution and all of that. And the Freedom Trail, it takes a while to walk because it's maybe a mile or so, but you're stopping at all of these different spots along the way. And it was really kind of a fascinating way to get a taste of the city and to get ourselves like across the city, you know, instead of just landing in one spot and staying there, we kind of followed this across the downtown area and got to see different sections of town.
Now, we won't quiz you on the various spots on the Freedom Trail because that wasn't really in your wheelhouse, right? That was Russell?
That's right. Russell is the historian. Like, if he sees a sign, a historical marker, he has to stop and read it. And then that will conjure up for him multiple stories he knows about history related to that sign, where the boys and I are kind of like, okay, yeah, this happened here. Let's go. This happened here. We're kind of we rush through history. And I don't remember those details the way Russell does, but that's okay.
Depending on whether you know, like Boston's like either a nightmare with Russell or it's like amazing because it's packed with, it's such a historical city.
It probably depends on how hungry the boys and I are. Like if there's food waiting, we're like, come on. We don't care. But sometimes we indulge and we actually try to listen. We try.
Carrie needs food first. Now, you mentioned getting off at the subway station. So you took public transportation in from Normandy Farms Campground?
Yes. So we had heard that Boston is particularly wicked. Hey, I can throw in some.
There you go. Boston,
particularly wicked to drive in. Only I think they mean wicked is good. Okay, never mind that. But we took the MBTA. I don't know if they say that a different way, but MBTA train in. And someone had told us that we could park at the Quincy Adams station. Instead, I went to the Braintree station. And then looking at the map last night, I'm like, why did we do that? The Quincy Adams would have been better. But anyway, so they do have parking places where you can park in a parking garage and get on the train. And it was about 25 minutes to the garage and then about 20 minutes into town. So you're not losing a ton of time by doing the public transportation, especially during rush hour, because we know that we probably would have sat on the highway much, much longer the closer that we got to downtown. So because we were going in during rush hour since we had morning college tours. So it was a pretty easy shot into the city, and that red line runs from pretty far out of the city all the way downtown and over into Cambridge. And it's a convenient way to get around and takes you right downtown to the downtown crossing station at Boston Common.
Particularly if you have like a big pickup truck and you're towing a fifth wheel or something, you might not want to drive that into the city. So that's pretty clutch that public transport's really not that much longer than driving.
Right. You would have to check to see if they have RV parking, because a lot of these are garages. So you might definitely check that before you go. But if you can leave your trailer at Normandy Farms, Normandy Farms, in fact, has a whole paper they'll give you all about transportation. And the people at the desk can also answer all of your questions. And I should mention, there is a train, I think a commuter train, that runs certain times all the way out to Foxborough when the Patriots are playing.
The Patriots.
So Carrie, you didn't catch a football game while you were there, right?
We didn't. The Coxes are like the least sportsy people ever.
Right. So we'll just mention, we'll kind of step in and mention this. Obviously, Boston is a sports enthusiast hub in New England. So literally a couple of miles away from the campground, Normandy Farms, is, what is it? It's Gillette Stadium. I didn't want to say the Patriots Stadium. It's Gillette Stadium. Which is where
the
Patriots play. Yes, you can shop at Bass Pro and go to a football game. But also the Revolution soccer team plays there. And my boys love seeing soccer games when we travel.
I would love to go back to Normandy Farms and catch a soccer game. And that wouldn't seem as offensive to me as going to see the Patriots play. And I have to say, I'm a Yankees fan. I'm a New Jersey guy. I have been to Fenway Park, and while I despise the Red Sox because I have to despise the Red Sox because it's part of my DNA, yeah. I will admit that Fenway Park is an absolutely awesome Major League Baseball stadium, and if you are a fan of the game, you should put Fenway on the list. I was really impressed. We had a lot of fun at Fenway when we went there.
All right. So, Carrie, having gotten that sports stuff out of the way for our listeners, what else did you do in the Boston area?
We really liked wandering around the Quincy Market area, where I think it's called Fennell Hall, and that's a historic building, but this whole area has tons of restaurants. We were kind of sad because we weren't hungry when we arrived, and we walk in and you just have rows and rows and rows of little counters where you can go and get quick service food. And it looked like so much fun and such good food there. The end, where there's also a lot of historic buildings, and we saw a bunch of open air restaurants there. And I was like, oh, again, I wish I was hungry. They open up the fronts of the windows and you just sit and enjoy the beautiful breeze while you're having dinner. This is, I think, predominantly an Italian neighborhood. So we saw lots of Italian restaurants and bakeries, and one of them, Mike's Pastry, had a line out the door. So this looked like the place to be. And we enjoyed walking around there and getting up to the waterway.
I don't know what it means to not be hungry. There's really good food there.
You know, Boston's a magnificent city. And you know, we've been a bunch of times because we're not far away from Boston. We're maybe 4 hours away. But in my mind, I've always considered Charleston and Boston to be sort of like distant cousins, because they're both so packed with great food, historical culture, wonderful people. And they're both sort of approachable cities. And, you know, Boston's a bigger city than Charleston. But they do have kind of a similar feel. Boston can have a small city feel, even though it's not really a small city.
Yes, we were just coming off of, we went to New York City, and then we went to Cape Cod to kind of decompress, and then we went into Boston, and I was expecting Boston to be a lot more like New York City than it was, again, coming from the Midwest where we don't have as big of cities. And I was just so pleasantly charmed by Boston and how it didn't feel nearly as overwhelming as New York City, and had a very quaint, just a quaint aura to it for a city. And
more
so,
like Philadelphia, well, I think.
Carrie's backing me up on this. Like, to me, Boston has more in common with Charleston or Philadelphia than New York. Like, mm-hmm. there's a million things to love about New York City, but the word charming doesn't necessarily come to mind.
Right.
I mean, some very specific neighborhoods are charming, but overall it doesn't have that charming feel. So anything else during your all too brief visit to Boston that you guys did?
Well, since my husband and I, of course, were English majors and literary folks, we had to make it up to Walden Pond, which was kind of a drive outside of the city over to Concord. And there they have the replica of Henry David Thoreau's house at Walden Pond. And it was just really neat to see that and to imagine Thoreau and to go walk along the pond shore and to be in that spot where so much literary inspiration happened.
Well, Boston is such a literary city, and New England is such a literary region of the country. Yeah. I mean, so many great writers come from New England, probably more than from my neck of the woods in the Northeast.
So Walden Pond, was that like a full day, did you feel, or was it more like a half day?
You could definitely do just a half a day. And I think we were maybe there for a couple of hours. They have a really lovely visitor center with a good movie. I think it was made by Ken Burns that puts you in the mindset of what you're seeing and what the significance of it is. And then if it's a warm summer day, Walden Pond is actually a very popular place to swim and play and do some water activities. And so it was really, again, cold and drizzly. That was the theme of our trip. And so we were standing, it was actually more than drizzly, it was really raining at this time. We were standing in the rain, and our sons were like, can we go now? And we're like, no, this is Walden Pond. Look at it.
Were you just quoting?
I love how honest Carrie is about traveling with teenagers. So
we look for all the ways to torture them. Yeah. Russell walked like way out along the edge of the pond. And so again, the boys were
we met your sons and they're so polite
gosh.
And they're
so
like
conversational, 100% engaged.
I think they're
time.
Loving every second of all these RV trips. Right. They might not want to let mom know that, but I think that they definitely are. And I think that when they get a little older, they'll probably tell you that very clearly.
That's right. We definitely try to ignore the eye rolling and just, you know, we know it's secretly going in their brains. And someday I bet you they'll haul their children around in an RV.
Well, Carrie, you know what's worse than a teenager? 10-year-olds that think they're teenagers. But we'll save that for another show.
Playing at being teenagers. Now, Carrie, we are excited that you're going to come back on the show later this season. And we together are going to talk about New York City. Because you stayed at a really interesting campground, Liberty Harbor.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Right, outside of New York City. And we want to hear all about your experience. And then you'll share some of your favorite things about New York City. And we'll share some of our favorite things as people that have kind of grown up in the area, and together we'll do a New York City show or two.
I cannot wait.
I know it'll be a lot of fun, so everybody can stay tuned for that. And meanwhile, thanks for coming back. It's been a while. It was great to talk to you.
You too. We were so happy to get out and hit the road this summer with our new RV and see a whole new part of the world and to see you. So
it was wonderful meeting you guys. It really was. I mean, we've been working together, oh my gosh, for like 5 years.
So I felt like we were friends already. It was a little weird. I was like, have we really not met? Did we meet and forget?
We owe you a trip out too.
We do. All right. And Carrie, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.
See ya.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook. Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.